I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hey, everyone. Thatcher, welcome to Puckle Trivia Rewind, where we play old trivia segments from our show, Puckle Podcast. You can be sure to go over to the main feed, Puckle Podcast, where we listen to this podcast, and get more goodness. We talk more in depth about other Pokemon topics and whatnot, as well as have up-to-date trivia. But right now, you're hitting Ultra Sun, Ultra Moon. And that's great, because now Stack Attack and Blacephalon are still there, Toucanic can still be an answer, and things are just going swimmingly. So sit back, relax, and enjoy this segment of Pokemon Trivia. Welcome to Puckle's Poke Quiz, the part of the show where we're going to quiz your co-host on their innate Pokemon knowledge. And as always, these co-hosts are going to be teaming up to try to take down other co-hosts on the show just to see what they can do. All right, so let me jump into it. So how this is going to work today is there are going to be five questions worth 1 point apiece. One of these questions will contain a bonus point, so there's a chance for an extra point there for a total of six. And then they get one hint to use to help them out with these questions. However, if they get all of the questions correct without using the hint, they can cash it in for an elusive seventh point. So if you guys are ready, we'll jump into it.
All right. Are we playing softball like last week?
No, we're not playing softball last week.
Okay, let me take off the kitty gloves.
Here we go. So this first question is about Scolipede.
I love Scolipede.
Scolipede's hidden ability was changed to Speed Boost in Generation 6. What was its hidden ability prior to that?
Ah, crap.
It already had Poison Point. Shoot.
Do you think it would be Poison Touch? Because a lot of those things will have both.
Do you know what its other main ability was?
No.
Okay. I thought it had Swarm, but
maybe
I don't
that's
know.
What it is. That sounds like a good one for bug types.
I just don't know if it was its normal or hidden. Because they had a really bad hidden ability.
Swarm is bad, so
yeah,
that fits. That was such a gift that they gave to Scolipede.
Scolipede
has such a cool design. I love Scolipede. It's a very sublime Pokemon, you know.
I'm going to need an answer.
Let's just go with Swarm.
Okay. I don't know. To be honest, I can't remember.
Yeah.
Swarm is unfortunately incorrect. The answer is actually Quick Feet.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Yeah.
That's bad as well. So, yeah, that works.
It's not terrible on Ursaring, but yes, it's not that great at all.
I mean, why would you use that instead of Guts?
All right.
You get 50% speed. It's not that bad.
But it's so strong, make it really hit hard.
All right. Our next question is the bonus point question. So in Ultra Sun and Ultra Moon, there are several encounters in which there's only a 1% encounter rate for those Pokemon. Excluding SOS Pokemon that have this chance, what are Pokemon that have a 1% chance of happening? You'll get 1 point for each for a maximum of 2 points. There's more than two answers.
There's five answers, and yeah. I hate to spoil this for you, but they posted it in the Discord.
Yeah.
Thanks, Grom.
Just do it. Just tell me what they are.
Larvesta, Butterfree, Phoebus, Kangaskhan, and Dratini.
Yep.
That is correct on all accounts. There you go. You're getting all the points now. So
do we get 5 points for that?
Those are free.
No, you get you get 1 point or
you
2 points
get
for
all
that.
The points.
No, you get 2 points for that. But there you go, 2 points. All right, moving on to question number three. What dual-type Pokemon is weak to both of its types?
Ah, that'll be interesting. Okay, let's think of the types that are weak to themselves. Ghost is weak to itself.
So it's not like it's both types are like...
Are there multiple Pokemon?
Oh, wait,
and Dragon is weak to itself. Is there a Ghost Dragon? There is. Oh, bam, Giratina. Yeah.
Is that your final answer?
Yes.
That absolutely is correct. Giratina
that requires no thought.
Giratina is weak to both of its types. All right, so that's 3 points for you guys today. Question:
and Jigglypuff is immune to both of its types.
Ooh,
isn't that
no
cute?
It's not. No, it's not.
Yes, it is. Yes, it is.
How what? Is it immune to fairy?
Because it's a Jigglypuff is immune to both of Giratina's types.
Oh, that just, okay, like, that makes sense. That makes sense. Okay,
yeah, because
it's adorable.
All right. So the next question number four, is about the Trick House in Hoenn, because yes. it changes formats,
yeah,
depending on how often you do it. So I want to know how many different configurations the Hoenn Trick House has.
Are there five? Are there five? I don't know.
No.
I bet Scrawn sent this question because he loves Hoenn.
He didn't. I just wrote it.
Ah, interesting.
Let's see. Because I'm trying to remember how that all works. There's one. There's the initial one. I think it's base. Nothing. No real main thing. There's one with cut. There's one with rock smash. I believe there's one with strength. Because they made you use the HMs for it. That's the thing.
Aren't there so five HMs in Hoenn?
Yeah, because waterfall wasn't eight? One of them. Fly didn't do anything.
Oh, so maybe six?
Yeah.
There were eight HMs in Hoenn. Stop making me hurt.
What?
Whatever, it's too much water and I can't
certain,
be bothered.
Certain ones weren't usable, like Dive wasn't usable, Waterfall, mm-hmm. Fly, they weren't usable mm-hmm. in this.
So maybe five, four or five, I don't know.
When did we get cut in Hoenn?
When do you get it? You get it like right
oh, before. Oh yeah, I can't remember.
Like in the first gym, yeah.
Yeah, no, it's
right after the first gym.
I would say five, yeah.
Let's go with five. Where?
That is unfortunately incorrect.
Is it six?
It's eight.
Oh, really?
One for each badge.
Oh, we should have gone with eight.
Oh.
Ah.
One for each badge, yep.
If you're doing the Trick House, do something else.
Yeah. Well, after every badge you collect, it actually would offer you a new configuration. So that's how it works.
Mm.
All right. So that still puts you at 3 points for the day. Let's try to go for four here, guys. Question number five, as always, is a base stat question. And the question today is going to be about base stats, and I want to know about defense, and I want to know what flying type Pokemon has the highest base defense.
Well, we didn't use our hint, so let's go ahead and cast that in.
It's a dual type, and it's way more obvious than I thought it was because I missed it when I was going down the list.
Does something have higher than Skarmory? Mega Salamence, I think it's a pretty big defense boost, but I don't think it goes above Skarmory.
Mega Salamence is 130, Skarmory leaves 140.
Let's go with Skarmory.
Yeah, I'm fine with that.
That's correct. I missed over Skarmory. Yeah. But yes, that is correct. Skarmory is the correct answer. So that gives you guys
honestly,
4 points
dual
today.
Dual type is a useless hint because there's only one non-dual type flying.
Yeah.
It's a dual type. Gee, okay, it's a flying type. Great. That really narrowed it down for us.
And I told you it was obvious. You got that too. Yeah. That's fine. So stop complaining. And
I'm just saying. That a hint? Is that a hint?
The hints weren't as good as Bo's, but like...
And he didn't even have to cash his hint in. It's like, oh, it was from Gen 4 when it was a TM. I'm just saying.
I didn't say that directly, but
you literally said that directly. You literally did. Go listen back. Bo had to call you out for playing with like softball.
It's a good time.
Like it's your fluffiest friend. Oh, who's fluffy? Hmm.
Yep. Mm-hmm. I know. It was a good time. He was really mad at me. It's fine. Let me find the trivia score. I haven't updated for the sideshows. So please tell me if I'm wrong at any time. So this is 4 points for you guys today. That's
the average.
Just about, yeah. Yeah. And so we're going to go ahead. We're going to sort these columns. And that changes the standing slightly. Shamu is in first place with 14 points, Whimsicott and Sublime are now tied for second place with 9 points.
Ah, which puts me in second place because I've done the TCG cast.
Yeah, because I haven't counted it. And then we also
I'm not trying to win, though.
We also have Scrawn, Bosefus, and Viger all tied for fourth place with 5 points. Maximus with 7 points, or with, in seventh place with 4 points. And everybody else has yet to get on the board. And as always, though, that what they're competing for here is a race to 30 points. And the winner here will get any plush from PokemonCenter.com under $20. So, yeah, free stuff, guys.
And welcome to Puckle's Poke Quiz, where we quiz your co-hosts on their learned Pokemon knowledge.
Of course.
Today we have Dushiro and Whimsicott working together in order to score as many points as possible. We have 5 questions today where you can earn a total number of 7 points possible. Each question is worth 1, except for 1 multiple choice question, which will be worth 2. Well, not multiple choice, but question with multiple answers. And if you do not use any of your, you get 1 hint. If you do not use the hint and you get all the questions right, you get a bonus point for a grand total of 7. Now, since this is a Thatchless episode, I have taken the liberty to write all of the trivia questions myself. Take that how you will.
Not well. How I will is not well.
I don't think they're that hard, but we'll see.
But very, very good at this. So you think a hard question is actually easy. So.
Well, I think they have, you know, I think that if you guys pool your knowledge, it should be easy enough. I tried to write questions that wouldn't be, you know, out of the ballpark.
Honestly, lately, my only goal in trivia is to look like not a complete fool, just a slight fool.
Then I'm sorry, Tim Sikata. I am so sorry.
No. I even made a TCG question just for you, mate.
Woo, I'm sure I'm going to miss that one, too.
All right, so this first question is probably the hardest question out of them all, just to get you to break that barrier, you know?
Nice.
So question number 1. In Ultra Sun and Ultra Moon, the Pokemon Beodoo can learn a move via move tutor that neither of its later evolutions can learn via the same method. What is this move?
Hey, that's the which Pokemon is this?
Beodoo.
Well, adieu.
Okay. As the Pokemon evolves into Roselia and Roserade.
Yeah. Okay, perfect. Yes. What do you think?
I haven't the faintest, unfortunately, because I've been thinking about breeding a Roserade for years and I haven't done it yet. Curse me.
So, how good is she with the spores? Does she learn them all?
No, she doesn't learn spore. And I think if Badu could learn spore, Roserite would be OU right now.
No. what I meant by spores is all of them, like sleep powder, all the powders.
Oh, it does learn sleep powder and poison powder, I'm pretty sure. Honestly, I think... Okay, so let's think about it.
Isn't it maybe fake tears or something like that? Like something baby-related?
I think it might have gotten that before. Fake tears a tutor move? I don't think so.
I'm just throwing here stones.
Do you want to... Since he did say this is the hardest question. The hardest question.
Probably the hardest question.
Do you want to get the hint?
Sure. I have no problem.
Okay. Let's get the hint.
All right. Your hint is twofold. 1, it is a normal type move.
Okay.
And 2, it is a special move.
Okay.
And by special, I mean it is a special attacking move.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. So like something like fake tears or charm.
That is a status move.
Oh, sorry. Okay. There we go.
Special move would be something like
solar beam,
like,
or something like that. Okay. Yeah.
Something like round or echoed voice.
What about this one? Echo voice.
Echoed voice?
Isn't that the name? When
it is the name, echoed voice. Okay. And
I should throw in that this Pokemon could not learn this move until Ultra Sun, Ultra Moon.
A normal special move.
It doesn't really help as much, but
I'm guessing it's either Echo Voice, that one that where they scream, each time they scream it gets more powerful.
Yes.
I think it's that one. I mean, I don't know if Bidu learned that before Ultra Sun, Ultra Moon, though. I don't remember.
It's not the kind of move you'd use on Roserade anyway. So, yeah. And it's just, why would it learn it when Roselia and Roserade can't? And I think you're right that it has to have something to do with it being a baby Pokemon. So, let's go with either Equid Voice or Round. I think Equid Voice.
Ooh,
might
Round. That was the other one I was thinking about.
Right, yes. Let's get that answer.
Okay, you choose. Which one? Me?
Yeah.
Let's say Equid Voice.
There we go.
Unfortunately, that's incorrect. The correct answer is Uproar.
Never would have guessed it.
From what I understand, isn't Echoed Voice a TM move?
It probably is. But I haven't actually made one of those super gimmicky Echoed Voice teams yet.
Yeah, I thought this was a really weird question, but like, if you knew your tutor moves and with the hint, it should have been
I haven't used the tutors much, except for just a couple of specific moves.
I gotcha. Well, yes, you can only teach Uproar to Budu and not to Roselia and Roserade. So that's something you
I would like to point out.
At least we were in
totally
the ballpark
the right
that it was.
Track.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. We were in the ballpark that it was a sound-based attack. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Good job.
I'll pat us on the head anyway.
Pat yourselves on the head. All right. Number two is our side series question. I like to throw one of these in. In Pokemon Ranger Guardian Signs, if you downloaded a special mission from RangerNet, you could catch a certain Pokemon from Oblivia's past and transfer it to any fourth generation main series game. What was this mythical Pokemon?
Wow.
Wait, catch? Or hatch.
Yeah, you could catch a Pokemon with the Ranger Styler in
because
the special mission, and then
I remember
to
the
game.
First Pokemon Ranger gave you a Manaphy egg, but this is a different Pokemon Ranger, right?
This is the third Pokemon Ranger.
Exactly. So, from the past, can you repeat the name of the region, please?
Oblivia.
Oblivia. Well, it's from
and it's
the
a fourth
past.
Gen, so it should be a fourth gen related Pokemon.
I mean, they did give Manaphy out in the first Pokemon Ranger.
Oh, that's right.
So,
all of the Pokemon Ranger games are fourth gen.
Exactly, wow. And I don't think it was shaming. And it said Oblivia, which means to forget something, and in the past. And the one mythical Pokemon that has something to do with forgetting and time is Celebi.
Do you think it's a Celebi?
I don't, but it would be my best guess, honestly.
It would be my best guess, too.
Oh, wait. Darkrai.
Why Darkrai?
Darkrai, it just feels right, because Darkrai is Oblivion.
Yes. And it's fourth gen, too, right?
Yeah. And it's a mythical in fourth gen, Darkrai.
Okay. Definitely Darkrai.
Your final answer?
Yes.
Okay, well, I tender your answer, and I have unfortunately have to say that's incorrect. The correct answer is not something you consider is Deoxys. And Deoxys is a special event Pokemon in each Pokemon Ranger game. In Guardian Signs, you can actually catch it and then transfer it to a main series game. It was one of the only ways to get Deoxys via a fourth gen game.
And this is when you find out I have never played a single Ranger game.
Or do your that homework. We played fourth gen so long ago, I don't even remember.
Yeah, I'm sorry, guys. Well, hopefully these next ones should be easier for you. I think they will. Question number three. This is the TCG question for Tushima. The card text of this supporter card in the Pokemon TCG reads, Your opponent reveals his or her hand and shuffles all item cards found there into his or her deck. Then draw a number of cards equal to the number of item cards your opponent shuffled into his or her deck. What is the card's name?
This is a supporter, right?
Mm-hmm.
Oh my god, it's one of those cards that you read it once and you're like, yeah, that sucks, I'm never going to play this. And then you don't remember again. I know that card exists. I'm just trying to pinpoint which one is the supporter card. Could it be... I don't think it's TV Reporter. TV Reporter did something similar, but I'm not too sure if that's exactly what it is. Wow.
Jashira?
Yes.
What does the Clemon card do?
The what? Clemon card? Clemon allows you to search for electric energies. So
okay,
that's not it.
It was just the only NPC I could think of.
Yeah, yeah.
That's related to items.
No, and this and what makes this even
contribution to this.
And this for sure is, at least I might be 100% wrong, but I don't think that this is any of the actual characters. This seems like a last TV Reporter type of character, supporter, which is, you know, not a named character, but one of those Randor supporters. It sounds like it's because you're investigating. It's where I'm kind of, there's always a logic behind him. What?
You steal stuff. Could it be like the burglar or something?
It's none of the grunts.
All right, I'm going to give you 15 seconds to figure this out.
It's none of the grunts, because the grunts are all about discarding energies, discarding cards from your hand, but nothing put back to your deck, right? Because it's putting the items back into the deck.
Mm-hmm.
For whatever reason, TV Supporter is the only one, TV Reporter is the only one.
I need an answer.
What do you think, Whimsicott? We're going to fail
if
this
that's
one.
That's the one
really,
that comes to mind. Then
that's the only one, and I'm not 100% sure. Let's go with that one. TV Reporter.
All right. Well, unfortunately, yep, that was not incorrect. The correct answer is Getsis from the Plasma Freeze set.
Wow, Getsis. Yeah. I totally forgot about Getsis.
Mm-hmm. Well, hopefully we're all learning a bit from this, and the listeners as well. I'd be like, these are pretty hard. I'm sorry, guys. I feel
it's
bad.
Okay.
These are incredibly hard.
I'm sorry. Hopefully I think this one is probably the easier one, and it's the multiple options one. You just need to get two of the three correct answers in order to get 2 points. And let's go ahead and move on to question number four. Light clay is an item that increases the duration of moves like Reflect or Light Screen when held by a Pokemon. Obtaining this item is usually a matter of finding it held by a Pokemon in the wild. There are three evolutionary lines that have been known to have a 5% chance of holding this item in the wild. Name as many as you can.
Okay.
Can you repeat the question one more time?
Yes. Light Clay is an item that increases the duration of moves like Reflect or Light Screen when held by a Pokemon. Obtaining this item is usually a matter of finding it held by a Pokemon in the wild. There are three evolutionary lines that have been known to have a 5% chance of holding this item in the wild. Name as many as you can.
Okay. Clay Doll, for sure.
Yes. I think that might not be one, but let's keep it as one of our three answers.
What? Clay Doll?
Yeah, I know. It sounds like it's the perfect one, and yet I'm pretty sure it's wrong. But we'll see. Let's keep it as one of our answers.
Okay.
Cleidol, and I looked it up because I needed a
what
light
What about
clay.
Sol Rock and Moon Lunar Rock?
Sol Rock and Lunatone?
Lunar
Rock.
That sounds right, and it was my other thought. So
I can't believe I did not remember Getsis.
Yes. I'm pretty sure it's those three.
Those three, you sure?
Yeah, because I thought it was like I need a light clay, and I'm just gonna get one off of a Pokemon, and so I'm gonna get one from Solrock and Lunatone. What do you mean Solrock and Lunatone are not in Pokemon Sun and Moon? I think I remember doing that. So, yeah, let's go with those. The Claydol line, Solrock, and Lunatone.
Well, you got 1 point from that question. And the correct answer that you gave was the Claydol line.
Okay.
The other two correct answers were the Mudbray/Mudsdale line and the Golett/Golurk line.
I should have known the Golett one.
Me too. Yeah, we should have known
so
that one.
So you got the Baltoy/Claydol answer.
Which I thought was wrong. just goes to show how on top of things I am spending.
In Oraz is the game that you can find it on Baltoy/Claydol. Ultrasun, Ultramoon, Sun and Moon, it's Mudbrain, Mudsdale, and in other games, it's always Golett and Golurk.
Okay.
All right. And this last question is, I sure hope that you remember your Gen 5 knowledge. Generally,
you're not even giving us a base stat question. You're just evil.
No base stat questions. That's
oh no. Okay, right. Fine. Shoot.
Question 5, Gen 5. Generally, every Pokemon region has its own operator/creator of the PC system. Some of these creators have been Bill, Lynette, and BB. What is the name of the corresponding individual to the Unova region?
Wasn't he supposed to be like a delinquent?
That's in Kalos.
Oh,
a punk
okay.
guy.
A punk
Kalos.
Guy, yeah.
Yep. Okay, let me...
Ooh, it has to do with the dream, too. Doesn't it?
Wait. That's Professor Burnett.
Oh, never mind.
Okay, so the problem is I mostly played Gen 5 in Italian, and the names are different.
Oh. That's unfortunate.
Gen 5... was this a boy or a girl?
You know what? I feel bad for you guys, so I'm going to say it's a girl.
Okay. What do you think for Gen 5?
Wait. That's... I have it. It's the girl from Pokemon Bank. What's her name?
Oh. I know the character. Don't remember the name at all.
I know it's the one. I'm pretty sure it's the one who welcomes you to Pokemon Bank. I just can't get her name to come up right now. Bridget.
Bridget. Okay. Yep. Yeah. That makes Bridget. That makes total. Yep.
Well. Yes. Okay, I'll take that as your answer, and it is unfortunately incorrect.
we suck.
The answer, the dream professor that you were thinking of is Professor Fennel, but unfortunately that is not correct either. It is actually Professor Fennel's friend, Amanita.
I knew they were related in some way.
The one that gives you the paw pod.
Yeah, I don't feel bad about this question because, well, I feel bad for Whimsicott since you played in Italian, but... You see this person's name on the PC every time you open the PC.
Yeah.
So like Amanita's PC or BB's PC or Lynette's PC. You know how it works.
Do you really, though, see it in Gen 5?
Yes. I remember this. I think, well, either way, it was a legitimate question.
Just you watch your back, Scrum, for the next time you're on.
I'm sorry. I didn't mean for it to be so hard. All right, so
I adore you, but you got something coming, my brother.
There is a change in the standings.
This is no different from any other time I'm in. I'm the trivia, so I'm cool.
Scores have been updated. Currently in the lead with 14 points is Dr. Shamu, followed by Whimsicott in second place now with 10 points, followed by Sublime Manic with 9 points, followed by Scron with 5 points, followed by Bosifus with 5, Viger with 5, Maximus with 4, and now Jushiro with 1. Congratulations. I am sorry. And we've got still 0 with Basket, Gator, and Snack.
I mean, Jushiro, there has absolutely been a TCG episode in the past 3 weeks, so you're at 2 at least.
Okay, I'll put it at 2. No problem.
No, wait. Let's Thatch do
I
that.
I failed at the Getsis.
Thatch's numbers.
Not only did I not remember Getsis, I did not remember that was a very freaking good card, too. So I completely failed there.
I mean, I think the questions were
I love
reasonable.
It because he said, oh, the card does that, this, and this,
yeah,
and that.
Yeah, he's just like, yeah,
this
I
card
just...
sucks. That's
yeah, it's called sucks. I don't this. That can't be a name character.
All right, so let's
I am the host, ladies and gentlemen. I am the host.
welcome to the Puckle Poke Quiz. As we said before, this is where we're going to test your host's innate Pokemon knowledge. I have selected five questions for them today, and so each question is worth 1 point, but there is one question that is worth 2 points. It has multiple answers, and we're going to test how well our hosts know the answers to these questions. And if there is one that's a little bit tricky, that gets them a little bit stuck, they do have a hint. Now, if they don't use their hint on any of the questions and still get them all correct, they can earn a bonus point. So there's up to 7 points up for grabs. I really, really hope, folks, that we do better. You do better with these questions than you did last week with Scrawns.
I
yelled at Jushiro, okay? On behalf
honestly.
You cast. Getsus is a good card, a really good card.
They call it trash.
Let's not have another Tyranitar gate, guys. Look, let's put it this way. I don't want to jinx us, but doing worse than we did last week is kind of difficult.
That is true, yes. But we'll see. We have some questions from the community and one from myself, as well as a base stat question. So let's see how this all goes. The first question is from Linny, and we actually have a couple from Linny in here. So the question is, by national dex number, which Pokemon is the first steel type in the dex?
Magnemite.
Are you sure?
Yes.
Okay, I'll go with you, yeah.
Alright, so Magnemite, is that your final answer?
Yeah, because there were no steel types in Gen 1, and then Magnemite and Magneton became steel types, and they're
ones. Hold on, what about Alolan Sandshrew?
Oh, that is a very good point.
Because Alolan Sandshrew has that dex number, right? He said national dex specifically. And Sandshrew definitely comes before Magnemite.
Gator, you caught the trick in the question. Good job. Oh, I love you, man. Yeah, okay. Yes, it has to be Alolan Sandslash. Yeah, Sandshrew. Yeah.
All right.
Final answers. Alolan Sandshrew.
All right. Alolan Sandshrew. That is correct. Good job, folks. Yes, you did. You did catch Linny and trying to be tricky there.
Thank you, Gator.
I only knew that because I'm working on this national deck, and I realized, wait a second, my living decks, these Pokemon have to go back. Now I have to rearrange all the boxes.
Exactly, because the Alolan forms share a Pokedex number with the original forms.
Oh, no. See, other forms, in my, I have, the most basic version of whatever Pokemon is, I have a place for that in my national decks, and then any other forms I have, separate boxes for. But
smart. Yeah. I should have done that.
So, yes, you are correct, earning your first point for the day. So, hey, you are at least as good as you did last week. Fantastic.
Thanks only to Gator. I was going to get that wrong.
All right. Let's move on to the next one. This one is from Sparky, and I do have to tip my hat off to Sparky because I wasn't even quite even sure about this one here. Generation 3 introduced many new game mechanics, one of which was double battles. The first ever double battle in a Pokemon game is on Route 104 against twins, Gina and Mia. What were their Pokemon? And we are looking
at Plusle and Minim.
So just be clear, folks, there are two parts here, but this is not the two-part question. That's all I'll give you for now.
Okay.
It should be Plusle and Minim, right? That's the first. It's the one right there near the Trick House.
It is actually a bit before the Trick House. It's Route 104. It's the one that's around the forest.
I don't think this gives away too much, but if I'm remembering correctly, I think there's a bridge that this battle happens.
Yeah, I know exactly where it is. Where you come out of the forest and there's a bridge over water? They are right on that bridge and you cannot skip the battle. I remember exactly where the battle is. And that is the only reason I'm a bit unsure about it being Plusle and Minun, because it's kind of early in the game for them, but it very well might be. It would make a lot of sense.
That's what I think. That's when I first think of my first double battle, I think of the Plusle and Minun. But if you think it's something else, then...
No, the thing is, I think it's something else, but I could not possibly think of what. So we should probably go with Plusle and Minun.
Otherwise, you can do that, or your hint is still available to you. It's up to you, folks.
What, or is it the LOTAD and C-DOT?
No.
Is that one?
No, no, that's a different double battle. Do you want to get the hint?
Yeah. Let's take the hint.
Okay.
All right, so for the hint, we will go with these are not electric-type Pokemon.
Okay, so then it's probably like the C-DOT and LOTAD.
I'm kind of sure it's not Seedot and Lotad. I think it's something they could have something even.
Those would have been like some of the first ones you came across.
Yeah, but no. I think. Oh wow! Why can I? I've played through Gen 3 and the remakes several times. Ah, Route 104. They might.
Are we sure?
I mean,
you did say 104, right?
Yeah, they might have.
I'm gonna go with LOTAD and C-DOT. I'm pretty sure that's what it was.
Okay.
Is that the answer you guys are gonna go with?
I can't come up. I think it's not that, but I'm not coming up with any other answers. So yeah, okay.
All right, and that is correct. It is LOTAD and C-DOT. Nice job.
Wow.
Nice work. Yeah. That is it. Yeah, exactly.
I'm just trying to drag Gator down. I'm just going to disconnect from the call, guy.
If you didn't caution me with the plus one minus, then we would have got it wrong. So you did. No. That was a good part.
Broken clock twice a day.
All right. So, good. Nicely done. You've now earned 2 points. Let's go and move on to the question with the bonus point. This one also comes from Linian, and it's about an ability. The Wonder Skin ability changes the accuracy of status moves used against the Pokemon with this ability to 50%. Give me two Pokemon that have the Wonder Skin ability.
Wonder Skin?
Or you can give me more if you want.
Okay.
But two will get you the points.
Dratini and Dragonair?
I don't think they have it.
No?
No.
What do they have?
With, Sigalith has Wonder Skin. No, they have Shed Skin, I think you're thinking of. Because I'm pretty sure it's definitely Sigalith's one of their, like, that's like a Sigalith ability.
Okay.
And, like, I think the Skiddy Line gets it.
The Skiddy Line?
Yeah, I think that's their hidden ability.
No, I think the Skiddy Line has, like, no redeeming qualities.
So. I'm pretty sure the Skiddy Line gets it and Sigalith gets it. Because I know Sigalith gets it, and I'm pretty sure I saw it when I looked up the Skiddy Line before.
Okay, I trust you. Let's go with Sigalith and Skiddy and Dalkeddy then.
That is correct. Nicely done. It is the Dalkeddy line, Sigalith. So you got 3 out of 5, only worth 2 points. The other two that have the Wonder Skin ability are Venomoth and Bruxish. Bruxish.
Wow.
So good job.
You did it.
You guys are up to 4 points already. 4 points. Fantastic. And we still have 2 more questions left. So you can't make the perfect 7 since you've used your hint, but you could still maybe get 6, which would be really impressive. All right.
Ooh, no pressure.
This is one that's on you.
You're the one doing all the work, Gator. No pressure.
This next one is one that I came up with. The day that we are recording today is Mother's Day. And in most of the Pokemon games, your mother stays home and doesn't usually explore their own interests. But there is one. Which mother plays a more active role within the games?
A more active role within the games. I mean, I know the mother in Generation 5 follows you around and brings you stuff, but I don't know if you would define that as an active role.
A little mom that's like a ride-on rider or something, isn't it? Which one was that?
The Kalos one.
Kalos one. She was like a...
Grace is a ride-on rider. I'm trying to figure out if by active role in the game, he means this mother actually does something. Or if she has a more interesting story than the other ones. It's kind of a weirdly worded question.
I'll see if I can word it any better. Basically, and I wasn't aware of the Gen 5 mother doing that. I don't remember that. And I mean, I played both Gen 5 games, but I don't remember the Gen 5 mom following you. But
she follows you, like, two towns over to bring you running shoes.
Okay. Interesting. So let me see if I can further elaborate. There is one of the mothers who you will see outside of the home. And it is more than just, like, a town over to bring you running shoes. It's more significant than that, but it is an optional part of the game.
An optional part of the game? Now I'm confused, because I know the mother in Generation 2 saves you money and buys you stuff for your room, but that is technically staying at home the entire time. And she gets you rare items. Then there's the mother in Generation 5 Part 2, who is a friend of the professor and is thus featured in the story sometimes. Then there's the mom in Alola, who follows you around sometimes and is a spectator to your battles in Nikki Town.
And then the mom in Emerald gives you, like, Latiosite, doesn't she? She gives you...
Yeah, she does stuff. They all do stuff. I'm trying to figure out which of them Snag thinks is more important. They all do things.
I'm trying to think of what else I can get at with this. Let me think for just a moment here. I'll see if I can just, like, nudge you closer in the right direction. So here's a bonus hint for a poorly worded question. You haven't hit on who I'm talking about yet.
Okay. that doesn't leave a lot of room. It's Gen 1 mom who does nothing, or Gen 4 mom.
Well, in Gen 6, she goes to the Tapu Koko thing, right?
That's Gen 7, and I mentioned that. Yeah. And the thing is, we've mentioned Gen 2 mom, Gen 3 mom, Gen 5 mom, Gen 5.2 mom, Gen 6 mom, and Gen 7 mom. And that leaves Generation 1 mom, who does nothing, and Generation 4 mom, who I don't remember because it's Gen 4.
Okay, so fair enough. What does Gen 4 mom do?
I haven't the faintest clue. She's in Gen 4. That game is a blank slate in my mind.
He literally said one we haven't mentioned. We're going to go with Gen 4 mom.
Yep.
But you have no clue what she does, though.
No. But you didn't ask us. So.
You're true. That's true. But I also, like, gave you that. I basically told it to you. Whatever. It's fine. It's a Thatcher's episode.
That's on you, man.
Gen 4.
You're making up for Scrawl's incredibly absurd questions.
You're right. It is the Gen 4 mom. Her name is Joanna. And you will encounter her at the Master Rank level of some of the Pokemon contests.
Oh. I never played it either.
That's right.
So that's kind of what I was thinking is where, like, she, you know, she actually got out and she, I mean, she was known to be a strong contest coordinator and you actually see her outside of the home doing that randomly when you do the master rank contest. So,
I mean, I think Rhyhorn Racing trumps contests, but okay.
But yeah, okay. So that's something that the Kalos mom did, but. Do you ever see the Kalos mom outside of your hometown? I don't think you do.
I think you might at the parade at the end, but I'm not even sure if she showed up. So,
what a bad mom.
All right.
Exactly.
I will award you that point for the poorly worded question. She's the one who actually gets out and does more things. She pursues her own interests.
She said... You said it's because it's a Thatchless episode, as if Thatch doesn't do that all the time.
Yeah.
Sorry, brother.
That Bo episode where you fed him every answer.
All right, so with that, you have 5 points, but there's still one more question here, and as Thatch usually does, I have a base stat question. And I randomly rolled this earlier today to see what we do. So what I'm wondering about is, what dragon type has the highest base defense stat?
Ooh, defense?
Good question. Okay.
Well, the Kyurems are pretty strong.
Defensively? Like physical defense?
Yes, regular defense.
You know... It's not Megasalamence, or you'd know, right, Gator?
Yeah. I don't think it's Megasalamence.
Because I remember Megasalamence being ridiculously bulky, too. Wait. It's Tartanator.
Are you sure?
Yes. Yes, I'm sure. Because Guzzlord is bulky, but it's all HP, no defenses. And Tartanator has gigantic physical defense.
I trust you, because I don't...
It's either that or something like Dialga or Palkia.
What if it is Salamence, though? Because Salamence is pretty freaking bulky. Mega one is.
Exactly. I think Salamence gets up to, like, 120, 125 Mega Salamence, but Tartanator is way past that. Like, I'm 99% sure it's Tartanator.
Because I'm pretty sure Mega Salamence is, like, one-third...
Tartanator is higher.
Think so?
Yeah.
All right, I'm going to need an answer. What are you guys going to settle on?
I am relatively sure of. Feel free to scream at me if I get it wrong.
No, yeah, I'm going with Fluff. It's Tartanator. Let's go. I trust her.
All right, and that one is also correct. Yes.
Yay!
Tartanator has a base defense of 135, but Mega Salamence is actually just behind it at 130. Followed by Komo-o and the two Zygarde forms. So,
all right,
nicely done. You answered all of the questions correctly, earning you 6 points. You did have to use your hint, but yeah, you guys did a great job of balancing each other out. Once one person was like on the path of "Hey, it's this," the other person helped them out. So, congratulations, earning 6 points today. I don't have the spreadsheet up, but I believe Wimscott, you're going to be getting up there in points, and Gator, you probably pass a few people as well.
And welcome to Puckle's Poke Quiz, the part of the show where we quiz your co-host on their innate Pokemon knowledge. Of course, that means no internet, guys. You have to use what's in your heads. And of course, what's going to be happening today is we're going to be having 5 questions for you guys to answer. 1 point for each question. You guys are will also have 1 question that will include a bonus point. And on top of that, we will also be, you'll also have a hint that you can use at any time. However, if you get all of the questions correct without using the hint, you can cash that in for another point for a maximum total of 7. So if you guys are ready today, we will get right into it. You guys good?
Yeah.
All right, so question number 1 comes from Professor Snag, and it's a nice softball to get us going. How many appendages does Octillery have?
1, 2, 3. I know it's either 4 or 6.
Well, Octillery would, its name is, trying to remember basic geometry here. I don't think it has 8. Octagon has 8 points, but Octillery, I don't think, has 8 legs. Because that would make too much sense.
Mm-hmm.
I want to say 5. I want to say it's 5.
So 5.
Yeah.
Are you okay with that? Is that going to be your final answer?
We can go 5.
5 is unfortunately incorrect. I believe it's actually 7. Let me double 7. Check. Yeah, I'm going to count. Yeah, he has like 7 arms. It's actually, nope, it's 8. It is 8. Never mind, I miscounted.
What?
Yeah, it makes so much sense for a Pokemon, right? Yeah, he's got like the 2 that stick out front that you know, like Derpy Octillery, and then he's got like 6 that are just kind of all shoved together in the back.
That's silly.
Yeah.
That is
so way too much sense. Way too much sense. All right. Hopefully you guys do better on this next one. So this next one comes from me, and I want to know, in every Pokemon game, there's also been a console in each of those games in the player's bedroom. And I want to know what Nintendo console was in the player's bedroom in Pokemon Red and Blue. What home Nintendo console was in the player's bedroom in Pokemon Red and Blue?
Wasn't that a Super NES?
Yeah, I think it's SNES. That's what I would think. Let's see.
Because...
It could have been 64, couldn't it?
Well, I thought 64 would have been a bit yellow. I think it is. I think it is the SNES.
Is that your final answer?
In 64.
Is that your final answer?
Well, let's do rock, paper, scissors. because I think it's one of these two. And honestly, I can't remember when the first Pokemon games came out, but I think the Nintendo 64 came out in like 96, I want to say. So if the Pokemon games came out after that, then I would say it's the 64 because they've always put in the most up-to-date gen, at least in the newer ones. So I think, yeah, I think it would have been the 64.
What's your final answer?
Okay, Maximus, rock, paper, scissors.
Man, are we doing shoot or are we doing...
I'll just do one, two, three.
And that's it?
Yeah.
Okay.
Sorry. One, eight. Two, three.
Wait, the lag is so off. I'm looking at this right now.
Okay. One, two, three. All right. So we're doing Super Nintendo.
Well, thankfully, Maximus won. So that is correct.
All right.
It is the Super Nintendo. The Super Nintendo was the console in the player's bedroom. However, when they did the remake, they actually made it just a regular Nintendo, which is nutsos to me to think. Also, we have the very sad appearance of a Wii U in the player's room in X and Y. just like a little tidbit there. It's also in Sun and Moon, but in Ultra Sun, Ultra Moon, they replaced it with a Switch. So... I feel like that's just, it's a fun tidbit to go into. All right. So that gives you guys a point so far. So we've got three more questions to go, however. So question number three, also comes from me. And I want to know what Pokemon is based on the same Japanese legend as the anime Naruto.
Oh,
isn't that Ninetales? Ninetales.
Is that your final answer?
I believe so. Yeah.
All right. That's correct. You get a second point. That it is Ninetales because it's based on the legend of the Ninetale Fox, and that's Naruto right there. There's a Naruto tie-in for everybody waiting for tie-ins to animes. All right, so this next question has the bonus point. It comes from Seth Vilo, and it's a little bit trickier than the last couple, but he wants to know about berries and e-reader berries to be specific. So for those of you who don't know, if you use the e-reader, you can actually just scan cards to give your game specific berries. And there were 12 of these for all of Pokemon, for Ruby and Sapphire. Only six of them were available in the United States, and which really, it blows my mind. And of these, there were 12 total, and six of them did things other than just create Pokeblocks. So if you can name two of those, of the berries that could do something other than make Pokeblocks that came from the e-reader, we will give you a point for each one.
Oh, man.
This is pretty rough, but I can tell you right now, they're mostly based, they're based off of like real life foods. I gave you that one for free.
So when you say they're based off, is that in appearance or in name?
A little bit of both.
Okay.
Because it typically looks like the same, and then they'll like alter the name of the actual vegetable or fruit to something similar. Okay. If you give the actual fruit as well, and like I'll just give it to you because these are berries.
I'm going to. There's two that I know that that are based off of fruit that I can think of off the top of my head because I'm horrible with berries.
And they're from the e-reader.
Okay, so then
these are a little bit rougher.
So then they can't turn up in the vanilla game then.
They wouldn't turn up in Ruby and Sapphire unless you did the e-reader. One of them is actually, I believe, a berry now, that ended up getting a use later on, but it didn't have a use prior to that. It's really interesting. Of course, you guys have the hint as well to use, and the next question is always the stack question. So if you want to use the hint, we could use the hint.
You want to use the hint?
Sure. Yeah, let's use the hint.
Okay. Oh, man. Okay. So there's six of them that you're trying to name here. So I can tell you one of them is based off a vegetable that is seen commonly in the fall time in the United States. Another one is a spicy vegetable. It's a spicy vegetable. Not a pepper though. It's like it's something that you'd put on a hot dog maybe. And then another one is a substitute for chicken for vegans. And then these are really good clues, right? And then let's see. I don't even know what the other ones are based off of. Actually, I'm gonna like right click these real quick. While we're doing that, but you get three of them so far. Those are for free. Those are the actual ones that can come out in the U.S.
Can you say them over again?
Yes. Yes, yes, yes. One of them is a vegetable that you typically see around the fall time. And then another one is a spicy vegetable. Like I said, just something you like put on a hot dog or something like that. And then another one is a substitute for like meat for vegans. They'll grill this up sometimes.
So one's a should be based off a pumpkin, I'm guessing.
I'll say that's correct.
There's, yeah.
I'll give you that.
Let's say pumpkin berry.
Yeah, close enough.
Chili.
Well, you said it wasn't a pepper though. Sauerkraut. I've never had sauerkraut. Is sauerkraut spicy?
No, it's sour.
I wouldn't call it spicy.
Unless he's talking about mustard. See,
the other ones aren't actually based on fruits. They're just based off the anagram of the word enigma.
Okay, so. I'm trying to think of like a vegetable that's like used as a meat substitute.
Well, unless it's tofu, but I doubt that's it.
Right. Eggplant, pumpkin berry, and eggplant berry.
Are those your final answers?
I feel like I don't know if they're the names, but I
don't need the names. I don't need the names. Like the fruit they're based off is good enough.
Okay. Pumpkin and eggplant.
That is correct on both accounts. So that gives you guys 4 points. Yeah, they're awful. The ones that actually came in the second batch of those, because like we didn't get half of these in the United States. They were Japan only. But the chillin berry was one of them that didn't do anything. So you were kind of close there. I probably would have just given it to you because good job on naming like berries from the e-reader. And then the other ones were the Ginema berry. It was an enigma berry. Like they just anagrammed it. The Yago berry and the Tuga berry, which is just a carrot. Yeah, they're all right. They're not great though, because I mean, if you transfer them forward to Gen 4, it actually would just turn into an enigma berry.
What are the names of the eggplant and the pumpkin one?
It's pumpkin, but no P in the middle. Okay. And then eggant for the eggplant one.
Pumpkin, not pumpkin.
Yeah, pumpkin. Yeah. Ugh. And then there's the drash berry, which is based off a horseradish. That was the other one I was giving you the hint for.
Horseradish on hot dogs?
You can. People do it.
I would.
And all right. So moving on then, we need we're going to pick a Pokemon with a stat for you guys to guess here. So we're going to go ahead. We're going to pick, I want to know what Pokemon, let's say dark type. What dark type Pokemon has the highest base special attack?
Special attack.
Is Ultra Necrozma?
Dark type. Make sure it's a dark type Pokemon. Ultra Necrozma is not a dark type.
Oh wait, it's a psychic type, isn't it?
Yeah.
Dark type with the highest, like, what is it on Darkrai? No, I feel like there's something higher than Darkrai. Highest special attack, dark type. Let's see, there's Mega Houndoom, Darkrai.
Are Megas included, Thatch?
Yes, as always, Megas are included.
All right, so then...
those are just two that come out the top of my head.
Yeah, okay, so let's think of like heavy hitting dark types. So Weavile's is attack, not special.
It's special attack is trash.
Yeah. Mega Houndoom has a pretty huge special attack. What was the other one you said? A Darkrai?
Darkrai. I feel like there's more, we're just not thinking of them.
Yeah, yeah.
I kind of feel like Houndoom's bigger than Darkrai for some reason. I just think.
Well, Mega Houndoom, I feel like, would be. Because I remember playing him when I was doing a monotype Nuzlocke run. Mm-hmm. And he was pretty awesome, but he was like pretty much a glass cannon. Umbreon's is kind of crap. I don't remember Mega Sableye's, but I don't think that it's really that high. I think it's just usable.
It's more defensive than offensive.
Hydreigon, how high is his special attack?
It's not, like, it has 600 total stats, so it can't be that much higher because its defenses aren't that bad.
Right. Oh, and then Yveltal.
Oh, I don't know what his is. Oh.
Yeah, so I think it's between
Yveltal and Mega Houndoom.
Hydreigon, Mega Houndoom, and Darkrai.
We have a 25% shot.
I need an answer.
Okay. All right. Oh man. I'm sorry. I'm trying to think the of Mega Hound Doom's special attack. Like trying to reach back into my memories.
if you want my guess, I'm going with Mega Houndoom because I feel like Yveltal's a little bit too obvious. Like there's some megas with like one extreme stat, but all the other stats aren't so good.
I don't think his was above 150 though, and I feel like that's kind of like a threshold.
I'm gonna need an answer, guys.
Okay. Okay. Let's do Mega Houndoom. That's what I. Like, I would like that to be true.
All right. Unfortunately, that is incorrect. It is actually Hoopa Unbound. Hoopa Unbound is base 170. It, like, crushes everything. The next, wow. You guys, like, did really well naming the rest of them, though. The next one is actually Ash Greninja, number two, with a base 153.
I didn't even think.
Houndoom is number three with base 140. Then you have Darkrai in the number four slot with base 135, followed up by Yveltal with the base 131. So if you guys were on Fuchsia City Feud, though, you would have done really well. So that would have worked out really well for you guys. That gives you guys 4 points, though, today, which is above my average. So take that. I would give you the rankings, but I did not keep track of everybody's rankings during my absence, so I will update it for next week. But take those 4 points in prides, guys. We hope you like that. If you want to keep up with Puckle throughout the week, you can go over to the main feed at Puckle Podcast, or you could, of course, just check us out on Discord. Link is in the show notes. You can always support the show in a number of ways by checking out our YouTube channel for more content. You can also check out our Twitch at twitch.tv/thepucklepodcast, and our YouTube is youtube.com/pucklepodcast. You can, of course, help support the show in a variety of different ways. The first being checking out our Tee Public store, purchasing something. You could also go ahead and you can go subscribe to us on Twitch with a Twitch Prime membership, or you can go buy some Vite Ramen using code Puckle at checkout for a 10% discount. Or more importantly, you can go to our Patreon at patreon.com/pucklepodcast. But we hope you liked it, and we will catch you guys on the flip flop.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. WarbyParker.com/covered.
Do you ever feel like your brain is on overdrive and your mind is constantly racing? The plans, worries, and to-do lists are never ending. Calm can help your mind take a break from the noise by softening anxiety symptoms in the moment and helping you cope with day-to-day stressors. Calm is the number one app for sleep and meditation, giving you the power to calm your mind and change your life. Their meditations range to fit your needs each day, from anxiety and stress, relaxation and focus, to building habits and taking care of your physical well-being. They even have expert-led talks on topics such as tips for overcoming stress and anxiety, handling grief, improving self-esteem, caring for relationships, and more. For listeners of the show, Calm is offering an exclusive offer of 40% off a Calm premium subscription at calm.com/stressless. Go to calm.com/stressless for 40% off unlimited access to Calm's entire library. That's calm.com/stressless.
Want your most burning finance and investing questions answered? Here's a podcast you should be listening to, courtesy of Acast Recommends.
Are you ready for some personality in your personal finances? Hi, I'm Janice Torres Rodriguez, Latina money expert and host of the award-winning podcast, Yo Quiero Dinero. On this show, we're serving up POC-friendly personal finance knowledge, always with a side of sass. We're not talking about avocado toast and lattes on this show. We've got real, relatable personal finance knowledge that makes you feel seen, heard, and finally understood. Consider me your super cool, slightly risque, but always honest financial fairy godmother. Together, we'll tackle dinero in a fresh new way so you can finally become poderosa with your dinero. Check out our weekly podcast episodes at YoQuieroDineroPodcast.com or subscribe wherever you listen to podcasts.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.